We're only about 4 years deep into the 2020s decade, but we've already gotten a mix of incredible music from a variety of subgenres into this genre. And I feel like more than ever before, there's more rappers in the industry that are giving us quality music. And in today's episode, guys, we're going to be talking about some of our favorite songs from the 2020s decade. And to be honest with you, bro, it's pretty crazy to think that we're already almost at the halfway mark in this decade.
Pretty stupid.
We're about 4 years into it.
Pretty crazy. I know. And it's pretty incredible because that's when we kind of started, you know, covering the new generation of rap music. So thank you guys so much for sticking with us and listening to our opinions and listening to our curation choices. Because, listen, we're 4 years deep. It's felt like a lifetime, but we still have another 6 years to go. So as Lou said in today's episode, we're going to be attacking our favorite songs from the 2020 decade. As Lou said, a lot of quality and abundance of different sounds. And looking back on the genre, because I was kind of doing my homework before this episode, going through like maybe what I liked, going through my replays and stuff like that, the abundance of sounds and the amount of diversity we're getting in this day and age is not talked about enough.
There's so much variety, especially if you're really, you know, willing to pick up the shovel and go fucking digging. I mean, you're going to find quality in so many different sub areas of this genre. And I feel like it's more fun for me than it's ever been to discover new music,
yeah, absolutely.
New sounds. And yeah, we're at a point right now where I feel like if you've liked any type of hip hop, any style over the course of the genre, if you were around since the Curtis Blow days back in the 80s, or if you're just now getting into hip hop with someone like Drake, there is a subgenre for you to be in love with in the 2020s decade.
Absolutely. Rap music is a melting pot of different sounds and is a freedom of expression. So it's so easy to get into. But let me ask you this. Looking back on the decade as a whole, do you feel like it's been successful?
I think it's definitely been successful. I mean, obviously, you know, I think more than ever, we've had those narratives of, oh, hip hop is dying. The mainstream isn't as good as it was. And those, of course, a lot of catch up to play after the pandemic, where a lot of artists were silent in 2020. There wasn't too much touring going on. But I feel like everything sort of stabilized right now. And I think that looking ahead, the future is looking bright. I think that I think 2024 is going to be as strong of a year as 2022 or 2021. I really think we're going to have one of our peak years coming into the next year. And I'm at that point right now where I'm excited to see the rise of a lot of artists. I feel like a lot of artists deserve to get more recognition and more, I would say, respect for the music they're putting out. And I feel like that's what I'm looking forward to the most, is just to see certain artists continue to climb that ladder. But what about you? What are your thoughts on all that?
I think it's cool. I think making content and just being able to be in this beautiful community has been such an honor. It's been incredible to document everything that's been going on in the genre for the past couple of years. And just looking at where the current climate is, I mean, you and I have conversations about this all the time, how, yes, maybe you don't have your next Jay-Z or Kanye West in line, but it's in safe hands. There's a lot of good diversity. And more than ever, it's cool because, like, you could curate your style of listening to where you want it to be. Like, you don't have to necessarily rely on what the record labels are feeding you right now. You don't have to rely on any of that. It's really the power's in your hands. And I think that's what's interesting right now about where music is at, and at least how I curate my current favorites for 2023 at the moment, is that I don't know, man. Like, I've had so much fun digging. I've had so much fun putting effort into the genre, and like, that's a good thing. That feels like a good thing. Because at a certain point, I'm not going to lie to you, it felt kind of effortless. And it kind of felt, well, like everything was getting fed to me at such a high and rapid speed. And now, like, everything's come down to a halt. Everything's kind of just, like, frozen to a certain extent. And I enjoy that because now it forces me to go back out and have to use my app to be able to go out and do certain things. So let me ask you, when creating your list for today, because I don't think I have a list in particular. I think I'm just going to go kind of freestyle.
Yeah, looking at what I have. I don't really have a top 10 or anything like that. And to be honest with you, when I was like curating my songs and going through my Spotify, looking over what I've saved over the years, what's really had like an emotional impact on me. Like, for me, a big thing when I curate music and put together some of my favorite lists, how did the music make me feel? You know, what emotions did it draw out of me? And were they powerful emotions? That's how I like to sort of gauge what my favorites are. And to be honest with you, I could have made this list like 50 times over, bro. Like, there
so
were
much
so many
music.
Great
oh
music
goodness.
that was coming out of this
decade.
You
know what? 2020 is an underrated year for hip-hop music, bro. There's some crazy shit
that I have most of my shit that I brought in. And by the way, like you said, I kind of freestyle just what I wanted to talk about more than anything. I got a lot of 2020 and a lot of 2022. I feel like those are the 2 years that I have the most of for whatever reason.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm kind of on that same page, but... All right, let's get this started. Do you want to start or do I start?
Let's get into this. I'll take the wheel to start off. So I'm going to go with Escape by Don Toliver, which came out in 2021. And this was off of the Life of a Don album. It's the intro off of that project. And although that project itself hasn't had the most replay value for me as a whole, when I think about my favorite Don Toliver song, my favorite one is probably Too Many Nights off of the Heroes and Villains album, but that wouldn't be that much of a fucking recommendation. I mean, it has like 250 million plays on Spotify. I'm like, fuck it, let me go with something more low-key. And Escape, to my surprise, only had 25 million streams, but it deserves 250 million. And to be honest with you, Don Toliver isn't really rapping on it at all. It's more of like the psychedelic ballad where we have one of the best progressive hip-hop beats. Starts off with these violin strings, then it escalates into these guitar strings, and you have then this lead synth brought in by Mike Dean, and then towards the song you sort of have like this whirlpool of synths that are all crossing over each other, and it just makes for this harmonious sound that's so infectious. And to be honest with you, I play this a lot during late night drives. It's also a great song to play around the ladies. Like, it definitely, they're gonna get into the Don Toliver vibe. It's very safe for that kind of setting.
I like that.
Without a doubt. And I love everything that Don does. He really is infectious vocally on here. And it's a song about like him wanting this girl to escape the relationship that she's in to come over on his side.
Yeah.
So it's cozy, it's warm, but it's psychedelic. One of Don Toliver's best. If you guys haven't checked it out yet, please do yourselves the favor. It's definitely up there with the Can't Say performances and the Too Many Nights performances for me.
Very good. Very, very, very good song. I agree with you. Listen, is it one of my favorites of the decade? No, I wouldn't say so.
It's one of my favorites. I want it to be a bit diverse with this. I don't want to just choose Griselda songs, you know? Like, I want
it
to...
Yeah, but it's been Griselda's decade, though.
I know. Honestly, I didn't even bring in a single one.
Oh, my goodness, bro.
I have a lot of them as my favorite, but I'm like, I've spoken about, like, Pray for Paris and Fly God and fucking Burner Proof too many times. I'm like, fuck it.
Shit, so what am I going to do with my recommendation?
No,
that's,
I still want
to... That's where I wanted to go.
I know, and they're still valid.
That's where I wanted to
I'm
go,
saying me, I'm saying me personally. I wanted to talk about some shit that I haven't spent too much time talking about. But what do you have for me first? Start off with some Griselda. Let's dive into it.
All right, let's go to The Price of Tea of China. Let's go into Caruth, nice. Man. This is like easily one of the best songs of the decade for me. From a written standpoint, I mean... I'm not sure if this song is going to be that accessible for you guys in the sense that it's a very slow burning song, but there's so much emotional depth in the writing and the way that Uncle Lau laid out this sort of like, I'm not sure what vocal sample is in back. You guys probably have to do a little who sampled the little search up for me just to be able to confirm that. But I love the song for the tempo and the vibe of it. It feels like you're riding on a horse into the sunset, bro, and you're just kind of looking at your environment around you, questioning everything, and that's what the song kind of feels like to me to a certain extent. And this was actually the song that got me into Boldy James, so that's why I was thinking about it. I'm like, well, what is this decade meant to me? Well, I'm a big Boldy James fan. I love everything he puts out, so let me go with a little recommendation that maybe fits where my listening ship was at in 2020, and I love that year as a whole, but just because of the amount of music that got me even deeper into the genre. So that was a little recommendation for
you guys.
Yeah,
that's a great one. I mean, I always go back and forth between Price of Tea in China and Bo Jackson for my most.
Because a lot of people will
ones.
Talk about, you know, obviously the Bo Jacksons and, you know, and Cole, but really this is definitely one of the best songs off of this album. Even Surf and Turf is
Surf
absolutely...
and Turf. Is that the one with Vince?
That is the one with Vince.
Yeah,
yes, it
what
is.
A fucking great song.
That is an incredible song. But yeah, I went with Caruth. I think that it's the best song on the album for me. It's the intro to The Price of Tea in China. And I want you guys also to look at how incredible this album art is. It's always stunned me, to be quite honest with you guys. So go ahead.
You think it's his best album cover?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's better than Bo Jackson.
Jackson one's hard. Which one? Manger on McNichols is pretty cool, but I would still put Price of Tea in China. Probably that or a Fair Exchange, No Robbery.
Definitely.
Probably maybe go with that. But yeah, we've been bringing in nothing but intros, and I'm going to keep that fucking pattern going. I'm going to talk about Get the Change by Meek Mill and Knowledge, which came off of the Meek Volume 5 tape that Knowledge put out back in 2020. And cool story of how we got introduced to this. This was back earlier this year in March. We were in Detroit shooting some content with the Hive Mind guys, and we had just finished getting done a lot of recordings one night, and then we went over to like the lounge area that they have in their studios, and we had our good friend Tony DeRosa, shout out to you, Tony, one of the best guys, he was just playing some music on the TV, and I heard a Meek Mill song, but it was very unfamiliar. I'm like, what the fuck am I listening to? Is this like Meek Mill over like a random lo-fi beat? I'm like, what is this? I never heard anything like this, right? And then Tony and Riley went on to tell us that Meek Mill and Knowledge were, well, actually, I should say Knowledge, because Meek Mill didn't really have much of involvement with the series, but Knowledge had put together this series of tapes where he was taking old Meek Mill freestyles back from the 2000s, bro. Back when Meek Mill was just like 18 years old in the ghetto, like the craziest streets of Philly, rapping like The Rent Is Due, and really like he was rapping to save his life. Like, that's really the hunger that you could hear from those old Meek Mill freestyles. And what's cool about what Knowledge did is that when it comes to like just the process of music, obviously we all know this as music fans, most artists will start off with the instrumental, with the beat, and then later vocals on top of it. And that's usually the way in which you want to work to really get an understanding of which pockets of the beat you want to fit yourself into. But Knowledge was working in reverse. And I feel like that's such a cool task, and an impossible task at that, to be able to take vocals and try to place an instrumental for the rhythms and the flows of that rapper to manage to be on beat. And that's what he accomplished with this series. He really transformed Meek's sound. And that's what I appreciate about it the most, is that he took Meek's raw vocals and gave you this jazzy, funky, soulful backdrop to these freestyles. And for me, it made Meek's bars easier to digest. It added a vulnerability and realness to the music. So, like I said, the song that I wanted to shout out was Get the Change, off of the Meek Volume 5 tape. By the way, unfortunately, you might see all of these tapes come off of streaming platforms because there has been a lot of copyright strikes, unfortunately. So stream this shit now while you can on Spotify. If not, you also can find them on YouTube. But this song is amazing. You have Meek rapping about how no one was there for him when, you know, he had to get bailed out of jail. And just rapping about what his focus was, what his drive was, which was to make music and to be a businessman. You know, no incentives at play. And it was just these powerful piano chords behind him on this song. It's incredible. And I would recommend you guys checking out all of these tapes, because to me, It's crazy to say, because Meek has no involvement, but it's probably his best music, like alongside the Dream Chaser series and his debut album, Dreams and Nightmares.
So interesting to find a young artist in that type of zone and finding them at a point where they're trying to absolutely explode their career into a whole different universe.
It's just sad that it's going to be gone now, bro. Like, I'm really sad about that.
Go on YouTube. Find them on YouTube.
I know, SoundCloud. But it's
SoundCloud.
It's such high art, bro.
Like, just
such high art.
Just SoundCloud it, you know? You'll find everything on there.
I guess.
But okay, next song for myself. I couldn't come into this episode, especially on a little recap of the 2020s, and not include this. This is a song that has touched me very dearly, and one that I think that you and I haven't spoken about all that often on the podcast, and this is Deep Reverence by Big Sean featuring Nipsey Hussle.
I was about to bring this in.
Off of Detroit 2. If I had to make a list of some of the best rap songs of this decade, this would be there. This is an incredible rap song from start to finish. You're getting a intro verse from Nipsey Hussle, which was released posthumously. And then after that, you're getting an outro verse from Big Sean, one of the best verses of his career. When you have bars on here, like, hold on a second. Oh, I gotta pull this up. Looking at my life story, God's a good author. Never was the loudest in the room. We move like ninjas. And if the cost of your peace of mind, it might be too expensive. Like, just incredible mogul and meditative talk from both rappers at their highest form on this track. It is absolutely incredible. And I remember bumping this every single day in 2020. And it was at a time where NFR wasn't popping like that. And when, like, when we didn't necessarily have the platform that we do now.
But we did talk about it. We did our Detroit 2 review. I don't know if you remember that on audio.
Absolutely. Yeah. We did our Detroit 2 review, and this song gave me so much inspiration, so much hope, because there's so much motivation out of the words that Nipsey and Big Sean are giving you. And this is hip-hop passion at its finest for me. If you guys really want an incredible, passionate song, this is what you guys want to look for. And I think it's easily one of the best out of the entire genre, at least for 2020s. Yeah. And just even that, yeah, fuck rap, I'm a street legend, block love me with a deep reverence. Mm. I was birthed in a C-section, helicopters and police private. Oh, incredible.
The whole C-section double entendre. Bro.
It gets you every single time. Bro. No, it's an incredible song. And even the way that the instrumental from Hit Boy and Co. ends up starting you off. It's very deep, like, you know what you're gonna get out of it, and I can't fucking believe I didn't bump this in Los Angeles. What a missed opportunity, man.
We did do some victory lap, though.
We were doing a lot of Nipsey, actually. Yeah. We even did some mailbox, but regardless, you know, I love this collaboration. I think it was so fitting for the time. Detroit 2 does not get the flowers it deserves. I think it was one of the better albums of 2020, to be quite honest with you. This was one of my most bump songs of 2020, so I have to show it some love today on this podcast.
Yeah, I remember first hearing that, and I feel like it might have been one of Nipsey's first posthumous verses, and I was like, wow, this is incredible.
How could you not put this on an album? You know, it's way, way, way too good.
Yeah,
it's,
and this
really
reminded
sick.
Me, I'm like, okay, like, Big Sean still has it in him. Like, to me, that record was like a reminder that guy that I was listening to back on the Detroit mixtape or back on Dark Sky Paradise, he was still there. You know, he was still, you know, in the booth crafting up great music. But my next recommendation is going to be a bit of a different style sonically. It's going to be No L's by Cimino, which came out in 2022. And we did a live album reaction to Cimino's album Love for Rent last year. And we both weren't too crazy about it off the jump, but I do have to say it has grown on me. But off of first listen, this was the song that I love the most. And to this day, it is the one that is my favorite to listen to. And I love, you know, just the fact that he's sampling Tyler and Rocky's Potato Salad. Like, right away, I'm like, I was like, I'm going to eat this up, bro. Like, that same sample used there, which was actually, I think, used from an old Monica song, if I'm not mistaken. But you just start off with this very dreamy atmosphere. And every time that I listen to it, I feel like I'm, like, in this field of, like, sunflowers. And I'm just, like, gazing up at the sky. And I'm, like, sort of lost in this big field of beauty because of Cimino's vocals, his harmonizing. It's so dreamy, it's so hazy, and I love the fact that, like, he starts off singing knock knock knock, loud knocking, good weed knocking at your door, and it puts you in this mystical vibe. And then he's rapping about, like, being high as fuck, chilling with a girl, and just being in a meditative but relaxed headspace. And that's what this song does for me too. It could just relax me and you know, put the muscles at ease, you could say. And yeah, just from the unorthodox flows to the chill rapping, it's a complete rap song from start to finish. Would have been great to hear Isaiah Rashad on it as well. I think that would have been right up his alley.
I have an Isaiah Rashad.
Awesome. But yeah, guys, Cimino really is the future. I feel like, looking at a lot of established artists in today's decade, I feel like he's one that could really take hip-hop into a weird direction in a good way. You know
what
I mean?
Bring the quirkiness back.
Bring
that
shit back. Bring that three
back.
Stacks quirkiness back to the centerfold, you know?
Bring it to the forefront. Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, I'm due for a re-listen on that. Where was I bumping Cimino? I was bumping Cimino this morning while I was walking my dog.
Dub.
Yeah. I walked a young little Lily around the block, and I'm just like, bumping my Cimino. I'm getting along with my day. It's a perfect way to start off your day. But okay, next song I have for you guys, released on October 22nd, 2021, and this is Tired, Nervous, and Broke by JPEG Mafia off of his LP, The Offline Version. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, I think that this is my favorite ever JPEG Mafia song ever, if I'm being completely honest with you. Most people that have given JPEG Mafia the time of day probably know Hazard Duty Pay a bit better, but I think that this, at least in my opinion, is easily his best ever song. And I'm going to talk about it from more of the standpoint of how the verses kind of, like, progress, because if you go verse per verse, the way that JPEG alters his vocal inflections and alters the vocal effects on his vocals lead into the next chorus, bro. And it's incredible because even the lyrics have a lot of substance. It's JPEG talking about, you know, how, like, where the fuck were you, you know, when I was fucking tired, sick, and I was just absolutely down on my knees. And, you know, that whole redemption story, just like, fuck you, and I'm going to put it in your face. And I love that energy from JPEG Mafia. It's very brash, it's very honest, and you could find a lot of motivation from that type of writing. Not only the bat, but this might be one of his best ever beats, in my opinion. This beat is dynamic, the leading into the intro is incredible, and just... The transitions from verse to verse, you'll realize how there's shifts in production once you go into verse two and then once you go into the chorus. So, guys, go for it. Tired, nervous, and broke. I don't want to reveal more than that. You guys are going to enjoy it. And let me tell you, it's a treat every time I go through
it. That's definitely one of the standouts off that album. Another great JPEG song. Is that from the 2020s? No, I was going to say a song called The Drake Era. I don't know if you ever heard it.
Yes, I have heard it.
That's a great song. I think that's older JPEG, probably the 2010s. So I think that's off the Black Ben Carson album. But let me go on with my next one. Actually, I was wrong. I do have a Griselda song listed down here.
Yeah, how are you going to not go through this era and not talk about Griselda?
Yeah, thank God I did. That would have been an L if I didn't. So I wanted to bring in Stressed by Conway the Machine.
Oh, yeah.
Came out in 2022. And he got a lot of praise for his album, God Don't Make Mistakes, which was his Shady record label debut. A lot of people were hailing it as, you know, the best album of 2022. And while I think that it was a great album, I don't think that it was the best of that year. But one of those moments where you're like, wow, this is one of the best and deepest songs Conway's ever given us, that was Stressed. And that came with a beat from Beat Butcher and Derringer. And it's as boom bap as it gets, classic sounding hip hop drums. It really feels as 90s as a modern 2020 song goes. And it's just Conway who decides to really open himself and leave everything on the mic, bro. Like, he's addressing everything and anything that he had bothering him in that time of day. So he's going into how a lot of people felt like, oh, he made it big now because he signed to Shady, and that he signed like this $10 million record label, which he claims wasn't the truth. Then you have him rapping about being stressed and depressed and how, you know, most of his friends either passed away or are spending time in the can, and how he feels stressed that people are relying on him now that he's made it and that they have their handouts. Also, of course, him dealing with his face being half paralyzed and how that's crazy. Affected his mental health, bro.
I feel like if you have to put something up to the verse on the cow, this is definitely the song.
And what's interesting is that when he spoke about this song, he's like, when it comes to Stressed and the cow, I can't get through performing those verses without like crying, bro. Like, that's how profound
his words are. Bro, like, you tear up when you listen to the cow.
It's fucked, bro. And even on this song, like, he let it all out, bro. Even rapping about like how he had a baby that passed away and what he had to deal with going through that grieving process. And you hear his pain and suffering, bro, through the vocals and the delivery, and you could tell how authentic it truly is. And that's why it really hit me in my feels. And I just love the fact that, like, Conway, like I said, he can't even get through performing them without crying. And it just goes to show that he's not making these songs to sell records. He's doing them so that he can make a stance and be like, you know, if Conway can speak out about his mental health, so can I. You know, he's doing it for the listener, and that's what I value so much about songs like Stressed in Conway's catalog. It's one of his best offerings, for sure.
That's a big W.
Yeah,
that's a bring W, that man. In. I'm adding some major fucking placements to my list of songs I'm going to be talking about today.
So some real-time additions, guys. Some
rippies. I'm looking through. Yes, sir. Because, wait, take a second, man. Just go look through the years of hip-hop again, bro. You have so much crazy shit, bro. It is incredible. There is so too much. It's really
You know what? Let's do something. Let's rank the years that we've had so far.
2022, number one.
Okay, 2022, number one. What's number two?
I think it's Beyond the Radio, but I think 2020 is number two.
Okay, wow, over 2022.
I'm going to be on it. No, 2022.
Sorry, over 2021.
Yes. Okay. It has to be.
Wow, it has tough.
To. Are you kidding me?
I'm looking through.
Bro, go look at 2020 in hip-hop again, man.
But 2021, bro, we had fucking Off-Season, Simbi, Call Me If You Get Lost, Pray for Haiti, KD2, Magic, Vince Staples self-titled. Bro, Elephant in the Room by Mick. We had Baby Keem Melodic Blue. Like, there was some shit.
I know. Okay,
in 2021.
Bro, Alfredo, My Turn, A Written Testimony, From a King to a God, RTJ4, Savage Mode 2, Burden of Proof, The Price of Tea in China, Circles, Unlocked by Denzel, Pray for Paris, the first installment to King's Disease.
Dark One, Lane.
Dark Lane demo tapes, No Pressure, Whole Lot of Red for whatever it's worth. Then after that, Detroit 2, High Off Life is Fire. Like, there's some really, really good quality. Okay, maybe I'll go 2021.
Yeah, there you go. Changes.
But I feel like it's the most underrated year.
It is. I would personally do this. I do 2022, 2021, 2020, and then 2023.
Okay, W's all around. Okay, yeah. Where do I want to go next? Okay, let's go to Vince Staples. Let's go to A-Free, the homies, off of Ramona Park Broke My Heart 2022 release. One of those albums that doesn't get enough conversation. People will often talk about his self-titled in 2021, but
even that doesn't get enough talk, if you
ask
me.
I know, but I feel like this one truly doesn't get enough talk. You know, this one is really,
I think it's because, like, for the first Vince Staples, well, the self-titled one, there was a bigger weight towards it, so that got a bit more exposure. But then he dropped that one a year later, Ramona Park. Maybe that's why I didn't get as much buzz. But, yeah, which song are you going with? Oh, you said A-Free the Homies.
Oh, my God. When we were bumping this in California, like, I cannot wait to be in that setting again. Mm. So let me take you to the day, guys. Shout out to our brother, Mark Lux. Mark Lux takes us to Ramona Park. And right next to Ramona Park in Long Beach, there was an incredible Mexican restaurant called Tacos with a K. And we just finished destroying some birria tacos. We destroyed just a couple of burritos. We had this, remember the lemonade, how good it was, bro?
Lemonade was fire, bro.
I had a huge fucking glass too. My goodness, it was so good. And then we were just outside bumping Vince Staples, and it was just such a moment, bro. One of the greatest moments of my career, I think, happened in that day. Going through Compton, bumping GKMC, following the album in order of how you're supposed to ride out to it in Compton, and then after that, actually going to Ramona Park and being able to bump some Vince Staples.
Unforgettable,
and this one
bro.
In particular. Unforgettable day. Thank you to our brother Mark Lux for that. Just incredible stuff all around. But let me talk about this, man. One of my favorite ever Vince Staples songs. No joke.
Yep.
Just super atmospheric. It kind of feels like Vince Staples' rendition of, like, It Was a Good Day to a certain extent, like taking you through, like, the LA lifestyle, going to his mama's crib, talking about how, like, you know, there's violence in the streets and just the stuff you could come to expect from Vince Staples. But what I really, really, really like about this song is Vince's laid-back flow and delivery, and also how incredible this production is from LaKen Tyler. It's incredible from start to finish. It's atmospheric. It's bouncy. The vocal sample in back is perfectly implemented and is perfectly chopped up. I do think that this is a perfect song. For me, this is a 10/10 song. That may be a hot take. But if I had to redo my 2022 songs, I would consider this.
Listen, it's my favorite out of this new Vince era. Like, looking at both albums, Vince Staples and the Ramona
is
Park.
Perfect too, bro. Triumphant, the way that he layered his vocals, like the way that it makes it seem like there's so many other 10/10 song, bro.
When I first, like, went through that album, like the first couple of weeks, I'm like, okay, you know what? Like, maybe this won't be like front to back listen all the time for me, but I definitely know that A-Free the Homies,
DJ
and
Quick,
Magic were gonna be like in mainstay for me. Like,
I want those
songs with me forever type.
Like,
shit,
I want to go back and listen to this right now as we're speaking on this podcast. That is how addicted I am to this song. And we had the opportunity of, like, bumping in a real setting in March of 2020
and being at Ramona Park and just, you know, seeing what his surroundings were to give inspiration to the music. That's always a beautiful thing as fans to step into those shoes in one way or another. So, yeah, unforgettable trip without a doubt. But let me go on to another underrated artist. That's going to be Little Sims. And I've spoken at volume about how much of a supporter I am of Simbi. I do think that it is the best album, all genres, of the 2020s decade. But I've spoken a lot about it, so I did want to show some love to No Thank You, which was the album that she dropped out of nowhere, seemingly, in 2022 towards the end of the year. Fourth quarter buzzer beater. One of the best albums, I think, still, you know, in the 2020s. And it didn't get the love it deserved. And I want to talk about the intro off of that, which is called Angel. And
incredible track.
Incredible song. We have a loop of someone like someone's vocals being harmonized in the background. And you have Inflow on the production, who fucking murdered it as always, giving you flourishes of violins and different orchestral sounds. And of course, Like, to me, that's the recipe of a perfect, like, Little Sims song, is having, of course, Inflow behind the boards and then having Sims and Cleo Soul on the chorus. Like, that's when you know you're getting a fucking 10-on-10 song. And that's what Cleo Soul...
Did you check out her new album, by the way?
I haven't yet. I have to get to it. What about you?
I've gone through, like,
couple
intro,
songs?
Yeah, intro and a couple of songs after. I have to give it the full... I don't want to speak about it because I haven't given it the
full
listen.
Okay, yeah, I got to bump
it for sure. I'd
rather
reserve my judgment.
Because I loved her album Mother in 2021, so I got to go through
that. That was an incredible project. It's been a long time I haven't done that.
Fucking unreal, bro, that album.
That is an unreal project. I think I'm going to have to get both of those in rotation for the fall time as well. Because she makes such somber and comforting music.
Bro, yeah, and even her chorus on this song, it's like it just caresses your ears, bro. Tender.
Shout out to Cleo Soul.
Voice of an angel, beautiful. And then you have Sims coming in, punching in three verses, rapping about how, you know, she feels like she's not getting the fruits of her labor. That, you know, her work is, you know, being sort of monetized and going into the pockets of certain executives who are paying for their children's private schools, you know, with, you know, income generated by her hard work. And it's just the perspective that she goes into about artists being undervalued by the major label system and so many different areas of the music industry. It's an eye opener, I think, for a lot of people. And that being said, it still feels like a hopeful song. It still feels grounded in reality, and it feels like she's being emotionally aware of her feelings and surroundings. And I just love her her teachings, bro.
Incredible.
That's how I viewed it. It's just teachings with beautiful art wrapped into it. So shout out to Sims. Shout out to Angel.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to track 7. Of one of my favorite albums of the 2020s, one of the albums I think is the absolute best the more and more I listen to it, and that is going to be track number 7 off of Cheat Codes called Aquamarine.
Oh, yeah.
This is really a generational track. And basically, the best way I could put this is like Black Thought is explaining you the origin of the human being from a spiritual level. It's really a fucked up song. We go from Lyra to Libra, from cold water to fever, to World War III, from the treaty signed in Geneva.
Yeah, it's very like Mos Def-esque, you know what I mean, in the type of writing?
Mos Def, Lupe Fiasco, like, it's so hard to like really put a finger on what this type of writing is because of how poetic yet thought-provoking it is, and just, you know, what you're getting out of this. And then you're getting an incredible chorus from Michael Kiwanuka. I hope I pronounced the name right. I believe I did. And just an incredible production as well from Danger Mouse. And that was the one thing I really liked about this new Danger Mouse link up was that he has sort of like a quirky production style for hip-hop artists and like where the realms are at for hip-hop production. So it's completely out of the realms of what like it's supposed to be for a hip-hop song. But then again, just incredible from start to finish. One of the best written songs of the entire decade, in my opinion. Listen to this. I've been through hoodies and sneakers to beepers and record features, hustling nicks to reefer to tussling with the reaper, sensory deprivation to ultimate cineth. I can't even pronounce it. It's crazy. I don't even know how you rap this.
That's when you know that you rapped a crazy verse, when some words are not even fucking
you
pronounceable.
You know what, man? This might be one of the craziest fucking rhyme features I've ever seen. Like the way that he rhymes features with reaper, synesthesia, creature seizure, earth and Venus. Oh my goodness. And the way that then like he goes into prayer, so like it's almost like a near rhyme, but then after that he continues going through the verse. So yeah, I was just thinking, because we're in the middle of this fucking episode, I'm like, how am I not going to talk about this? This is a song that I don't get to talk about often again, so I want to bring this in for you guys. I think it is one of the best songs of the decade so
absolutely,
far, for sure.
Yeah, and there's a lot of cuts off of Cheat Codes that you can make the argument for. Even Belize with MF Doom, I think, is an absolute timeless track. So, yeah, a lot within Cheat Codes, guys. Black Thought and Danger Mouse. Please fucking listen if you haven't. But next up, I'm going to go with something that's maybe a bit more known to some people. It's definitely known in our community. That's going to be Nobody by Nas featuring Lauryn Hill. Had to bring in something from the Hit-Boy and Nas run because it's been legendary. And, I mean, listen, Nas and Lauryn Hill first linked up in 97 for If I Ruled the World. Probably Lauryn Hill's most iconic feature. And then 24 years later, they give us another masterclass with Nobody. And I had to bring in this song because I'm like, let me think about songs that truly fucked me up on the first listen, bro. Like, really fucked me up and made my mind explode. And that's what this song did for me, because already off rip, I'm like getting the track list, looking at it and being like,
well,
holy shit,
Lauryn Hill's
on here.
Lauryn Hill's
then
dying.
Expecting, obviously, the formula to continue, which I was happy about. Okay, we're going to get Lauryn Hill on the hook. And then, bang, you get a full-on verse, one of the best verses she's ever spat after being inactive for the longest time. And your mind is just blown, without a doubt.
What's crazy is that year we got an all-time Lauryn Hill and Andre 3K verse in the same year.
Yeah. Seemingly out of nowhere, like totally unexpected.
Totally, if it wasn't for that Drake leak for Life of the Party, to think about that, would we ever have Life of the Party to our disposal?
Probably not, bro. Probably thank not. God, thank God we did. And yeah, just going back to my feelings with Nobody, it just comes down to the fact that I can't even believe it exists, bro. It sounds like one of those dream songs, like getting J. Cole and Kendrick on the same song, or getting Drake and The Weeknd, the OVO XO reunion. Like, it doesn't sound like it should happen, but it ended up happening in reality. And yeah, I was geeking out when I fucking heard it. And I just love everything Nas brought to the table, because it amazed me that, like, even 30 years later, topically, he's giving you songs like Nobody, where he's tapping into territory that he never had before. And I just found it so interesting that you're getting this rapper who's achieved everything there is to achieve, just telling you, you know what, after earning all that I've earned, all I want right now is, like, some peace and quiet. Like, I want to go to fucking Mykonos, or I want to go to somewhere in Europe and be unrecognizable and just live in peace and be a nobody. So I love that. And then Hit-Boy, of course, brings in these beautiful sounding trumpets, a nice vocal sample, and there's this easygoing sunny atmosphere, very peaceful to listen to. And like I said, Lauryn Hill rapping about, like, her focusing on her freedom and not being a slave to the music and to the consumer, like, just absolutely breathtaking, guys. So please listen to Nobody. If for some dumb reason you've chosen not to check it out yet, and if you haven't heard of it, then beautiful. I'm glad to have been able to put you on.
You're putting someone onto an all-time song with this one. But okay, let me continue going on with this. Where do you want me to go next, bro? Do you want me to go Isaiah Rashad or Mavi?
Take me to Mavi. Take me to Mavi.
Okay, because these are my last two recommendations for today. So let me go on to Laughing So Hard It Hurts. And then I'm going to go to track number two, which is called Spoiled Brat. And this is one of the most popular songs off of this album. But yet, I feel like this album kind of went under the radar for certain people. So I wanted to bring it back some attention for this year. This is one of my favorite songs of 2022, released around the fall time. And this is a perfect fall song because it has that sort of, like, lo-fi feeling to it to a certain extent. And Mavi has these extremely, like, I would say airy vocals, but yet has this really nice smooth cadence, the way that he's delivering his vocals. And basically, like, there's nothing too deep as far as substance matter goes with the writing, but it's an incredible feel-good song. And the reason why he actually called it Spoiled Brat, he went on to Twitter and he actually explained the context. Spoiled Brat is so good because, like, one of my mama called me a spoiled brat literally yesterday, and addresses the fact that I force my way, mocking when people tell me shit like, you wouldn't rap if you wanted, you wouldn't act like if you wanted. So basically, to put that into context for you guys, he starts off the song, you wouldn't rap like that if you wanted, you wouldn't act like that if you wanted, just go out and get what you want, and, you know, really put yourself in a position to win. And I love those types of words of encouragement from Mavi, and you guys go look at his tweet if you guys want a bit more of context behind it. But yeah, just an incredible song. So a song that really stuck into my rotation for the latter half of 2022, and I never really got the chance to talk about, you know, on record. So I wanted to bring some light to it, and guys, you're gonna have so much fun with it. It's a really, really nice song. And
yeah,
it's one verse, one chorus.
That's fire. So nice, quick.
It's quick track. But there's a bit more of like it's a bit of a longer chorus. So, like, you'll be able to still have the runtime you want in the track. So
fire.
Definitely go bump.
So yeah, listen. Honestly, I have so many songs, you know, listed that I wanted to talk about, but I'm only gonna do one more because you've already been talking about, for you know, 2020s and our favorites from the decade for a minute now. But I do want to mention Miles Davis by Blue in Exile. Came out in 2020 off of their album Miles, and little sub recommendation for the album as a whole. Miles by Blue in Exile is truly one of the best jazz rap albums of all time. I really do think it's in that same league as a To Pimp a Butterfly, as well as a lot of the works from A Tribe Called Quest. But yeah, talking about this song, it's really interesting because, of course, the song is dedicated to legendary, you know, jazz musician Miles Davis. And what's cool is that Exile flipped a Miles Davis composition, which is called Someday My Prince Will Come, Title track off of the Miles Davis's album of the same name came out in 1961, and it's truly some of the most breathtaking like trumpeting that I've ever heard in my life. Like the notes are so loud and powerful, so vivid. Go back to the original if you guys haven't heard it yet, because it will blow you away. And pretty much like Blue on this song is just going into extravagant detail about why he is one of the best MCs. Like he's sort of like liking himself to like the Miles Davis of the rap game to some extent, because Miles Davis, of course, is viewed as one of the best jazz musicians ever. But you get bars on here like, I invent too many patterns to pattern your path after. Like just crazy wordplay all throughout it. And at the end of the day, if you're looking to be provided some soul, if you're looking for soul providers, don't look any further than Blue in Exile. They truly dropped one of the best albums of the 2020s decade, and this cut is a highlight in particular.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's the best song off the album.
Probably.
Yeah.
You have that, you have The Feeling, and a couple others, but...
All right. So, let me end off this episode with no other than Isaiah Rashad.
W.
Most of you, ladies and gentlemen, probably have gone through The House is Burning. If you haven't, well, time to wake up. Time to wake up, please. Go through that, enjoy it. But... if you guys never gave the deluxe Homies Begged a listen, there's one song on there that I personally think is on the level of Rest in Peace Young and Headshots. I swear to God. And I know that's a major
claim.
That's
a big claim right there.
But Donuts with UMI, bro, I swear to God, is an incredible song sonically. It is a whole different level than the entire album. It's slowed down. It's that slurred Isaiah Rashad sort of feeling you love. And more that I go back to it, it is one of my most played songs off this entire album. I think that it should have probably made the album, but whatever. At least we got into the deluxe, so I'm happy with that. But it's just, it's Isaiah Rashad taking his victory lap. You fucking with the greatest. We did it forever. We in it for forever. You can't get better than
this. I've heard you play this countless times, so it is a great fucking song.
Incredible. Yeah. Feet don't feel me now. I'm dead. Oh, and the way that that just fucking leads
so
into...
so wavy.
Oh my goodness. You can't get better than this. I really just... I get
this
so...
This or A-Free the Homies. I feel like they're similar in vibe.
I gotta make a playlist with both of them now. Yeah. of them now. I got to take all these fucking wavy songs and put them into one playlist. I'm like the Way of God with songs, man. I love wavy music. Shit that just makes you feel good. And oh my goodness. Listen to this. Isaiah Rashad, verse one, starts off like this. Hold on. Is this UMI or no? Okay, hold on. I'm a different song
different
structure.
Track.
Yeah. Never mind. I don't want to go through that because I may be fucking up your lyrics for you, but just please give it a listen. Lou has heard me play this song on several different occasions, and it's just, wow. Apparently, Isaiah Rashad went on live on Instagram and it played this song in its near entirety. As a common, he normally plays snippets from the background songs, demos. Okay, there we go. So I was just reading through some context through Genius. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to enjoy this song. And I wanted to end off the episode with Isaiah Rashad because I feel like he has had a major part to play in the way that this decade has developed for at least my listenership.
It's definitely a special era to be an Isaiah Rashad fan. And I feel like he's been talking lately about putting out more and more music. So I'm curious to see what we have in store, because every album of his is aging gracefully. Even The House is Burning, which I might have been a little bit harsh on. I still don't think it's up to par with his previous two.
It is.
Still a great album.
For me, it is. For me, it is. I'm being honest.
But yeah, guys, that's going to sum up our episode on the 2020s episode. Maybe we should do one on our top 10 favorite, actually putting a number to it at some point. You guys let us know what you want to see next when it comes to future audio podcast episodes. As always, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We're coming up on a year of doing this soon, so the support's been incredible. The growth has been really cool. And yeah, every Tuesday, guys, new episode, so stay tuned for all of that.
Yes, sir.
Leave us 5 stars as a rating. It does go a long way. And yeah, even if you want to leave a nice review as well, that means the world to us and really will help us propel to new heights for the new year. So much love to everybody that tuned in today, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.